Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real.
Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RL?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your emails, your questions. This show, Reality Spirituality, the truth about happiness is just that. This show is about that word happiness, is about that feeling. When I say happiness, I want to share my definition, because that word happiness is has a lot of people up in arms, has a lot of people just wanting more of it. I mean, I can't remember when I've asked someone, do you want to be happier? And they've said, not really, I'm good. So that happiness, that search, that quest for that feeling of, you know what I'm talking about, feeling good about you, feeling good about life, feeling good about the world, that feeling of peace, that feeling of contentment, it is a vibration that you actually emit. It is a vibration of peace, it is a vibration of happiness, it is a vibration of calm, of balance, of knowing, of trusting. All of these are vibrations. And when I say vibrations, I'm talking about, I'm asking you a question. What is your foundation? What are you rooted in? What are you rooted in? Are you one that worries? Are you a person that lacks trust? You know, the only reason why people worry is because they lack trust, because they don't trust. The only reason. Oh, and it is Mother's Day today, so happy Mother's Day. So today we're going to be talking about Mother's Day reflections. We're going to be talking about happiness and then obligations. Because every holiday, I don't care where you are or who you are, but every holiday comes with it obligations. Obligations to do fill in the blank. You got to call somebody. You got to show up to a dinner. You have to acknowledge them. Now, I get a lot of people saying, well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging mothers on Mother's Day. There's nothing wrong with an obligation. Is it? The obligations are good. Or what I'm saying is, because this is a show about happiness, I'm here to tell you that all obligations subtract from your happiness. Every single obligation. Now, I'm not talking about an elderly parent that needs care, that needs attention, and I'm not talking about a child, a baby that, of course, needs guidance and care. I'm talking about you adults that obligate other adults to do, respond, act in a behavior that you that you think is going to make you feel fulfilled or satisfied. So I'm challenging you, all you mothers out there. I have one question. Actually, I have more than one, but I'm challenging you. I have one question. If you didn't hear from your children, if you didn't see them at dinner, if they didn't call you or give you a gift or say Happy Mother's Day, how are you going to react? How are you going to feel? What are you going to do? That's a lot of questions. Okay, so scratch that. I have one question. I might have more than one. I definitely have more than one. What are you going to do? It's so interesting being a mother myself. I have one son. And let me just go back. I never, ever wanted any children. From as far back as I remember, I wasn't one of those girls, those teenage girls that saw the little babies and, oh, the babies are so cute. No, that wasn't me. In fact, if there was a baby in the room, I was walking the opposite way. Not interested. No, thank you. Don't want children. Didn't need them. No, thank you. I remember wanting to be free, and I remember thinking that having children would handcuff me in a way, or I wouldn't be free. I remember thinking that. Now, as you know, I've talked about this on the show a lot, and I was adopted. And so I was adopted, and the older I get, the more understanding I have for the relationship I have with my own mother. And if you listen to the show, you know that that relationship was one of my biggest challenges. And I'll tell you why. My mother was a woman that was brought up in a home, okay, because listen, none of this is our fault, people. We are only doing what we were programmed to do. We're only doing what we were taught to do. We're doing our best in any given moment, all of us, including myself. We're doing our best in any given moment. But I remember looking at some of my other friends, and especially when I met my husband. He's an ex-husband now, but he's really a good guy. We're really good friends. I actually married my brother. I like to say that because he feels like a brother to me. But anyway, I digress. So I remember looking at his family and other families and seeing and feeling the relationship between a mother and a child, especially a mother and a daughter. And I never had any of that. I never had the closeness. I never had the holding the hand, I love you. I never had the stroke, I never had any of that, the encouragement. I never had that until I got older, probably within the last 10 years or so, I began hearing compliments from my mother about me. Now, I don't know, and everybody's different. Some people need it. Some people don't need it to get to another level of growth. And I'm going to have to say that I got exactly what I needed. Listen, I didn't get exactly what I wanted, but I got exactly what I needed. And there is a big difference. And in fact, 2 years ago, I really honed in on the only reason why it's all about the person in the mirror. I can't look at anybody else out there and fault them for how they're behaving or acting or talking. I can't do that because it's all my responsibility. My feelings are my responsibility. But I remember having a, quote, aha moment. I teach classes about the importance of happiness, and one of the homework assignments was labels and how all labels subtract from happiness. And I remember saying, fill out the labels and there were just three words. I said, fill out three words that describe a mother. Just three words. And I remember what I wrote. I you know, do my own assignments, too. I mean, if I have homework, I my words to describe mother were protective, you know, unconditional love. I'm trying to remember the other one. Supportive, loving. And I didn't get any of that. I didn't get anybody that protected me. I didn't get anybody that supported me until later. You know, I'm talking about when I was growing up during the formative years. But the aha moment was, oh, my problem was what I perceived, what I wanted, what I thought I needed from a woman that I called mother. And that's going to go across the board to anyone, from husband. Three words that you would describe a husband, three words that you would describe a sibling, three words you to describe a boss, a coworker. These labels, the labels that we put on people, let me speak for myself. The label that I put on my mother actually created expectations and judgments about how I thought she, quote, listen to this one, should behave, and she wasn't behaving to what I thought was right for a mother. Needless to say, it's been decades and decades and decades and decades of trying to figure this out and trying to accept this wonderful woman who, in her own way, has so many qualities and virtues that I have learned. I mean, I have learned from her how to be generous. I've learned from her how to just give and give and give, especially to the people that, I'm not even going to say the people I love. I'm talking about just giving from time to listening. Anyway, she's a special, special woman, but all I could see was my labels and what I thought a mother should look like. Okay, so whose fault is that? The fault, blame. And in reality, there is no blame, there is no fault, because everything is unfolding and everything has unfolded in the proper way, in the proper time. And if you've listened to the show, you know that years ago, before my father died, my mother disinherited me. I know you've heard the story. But it's that same behavior that the universe gave me, and maybe for a few years it was off, but I was able to love this woman regardless of her behavior towards me. You ready? Now, that was not easy. Still, is how can you have your arms open to someone who is really not in your corner? But in reality, when I say in my corner, that's really my ego talking. In reality, she didn't do anything to me. The universe set this up. This is what I believe, but the universe sets everything up for a greater lesson, for a greater experience than I could even imagine. Anyway, back to the Mother's Day reflections. I have a question for all you mothers. Oh, you know what? I forgot my first segment. First segment is what's in the news. Oh, let me go to the what's in the news, because I like to do this. What's in the news talks about, I like to pick out stories that I've seen during the week and then talk about them on the show. Of course, it's supposed to be at the beginning of the show, but anywho, it's going to be the same what's in the news story I'm a big fan of Cardi B, and I've said it before on the show. And when I say I'm a big fan, I mean I've followed her a little bit before she got her fame, and now she's, quote, famous. And this is, she's one of the only people that I know that I've watched from going from obscurity to world fame in a short period of time, and she's the only quote unquote celebrity that has been real about this shit is being famous is not what anybody would expect or want. It's a constant ridicule. There are people, and this is what she's saying, it's a constant ridicule. There's people that are judging. There's people that are, quote, haters. And it's a back and forth and back and forth. And I want to throw this out to everybody. I'm not just talking about looking at a celebrity and making judgments. I'm talking about looking at family members, looking at coworkers, looking at your friends and making judgments about what they are or are not doing. I'm guilty of that big time. Years ago, oh my goodness, I would look out and I would know, I would find fault in what so many people were doing, and I knew, listen to this one, and I knew how to help them. Little did I know, and thank goodness I came to the revelation that the only person that I can help, the only person that I can help is myself, meaning that I can be the example of. If I'm up here preaching and talking about peace and happiness, how does it equate to looking at somebody else and finding fault? You can't do that. I can't do that. I can't find fault with anybody else because, honestly, looking at anybody else and finding fault, I'm really talking about myself. Whatever I don't see, whatever I see in someone else that I don't like, I own it. I know that hurts. You don't want to hear it. So what's in the news this week is, you know, these people have these Twitter wars or the Instagram wars, or somebody says something mean about someone else and then the other person has to respond. Last week it was poor Kanye talking about their slavery is a choice, and everybody's pissed off about that. And the week before, I mean, what happens is these people that are free thinkers and think differently than the norm are judged, are ridiculed, are criticized just for being themselves. Happy people don't criticize others. Happy people don't look out into the world and find fault with anything that anyone else is doing. If you are connected, if you are rooted, and I say the word universe, some people say God, some people say spirit, some people say energy, higher power, whatever word you want to use, whatever description you want to use. When you are rooted and connected, and we're all connected, but I'm saying when you are conscious of your connection, how's that? There is no time, there is no room, you can't even form your lips to say anything negative about a person, the state of the world, society, anything. One of the big, big lessons that I just received a couple of weeks ago is knowing that I know 2% of 10% of the big picture. And I might not even know that. 2% of 10% of 100%. See, the universe has this big plan, this. When I say plan, I mean it is unfolding perfectly. It always has and it always will. Things evolve exactly in the same in this perfect time, without any hurry, without any rush, and without any help from me. See, my ego thinks that I need to get out there and I need to help you. What I want to do is just share with as many people as possible, or even just one person, that one person, the one that's listening right now, just one person. Accepting this life the way it unfolds is one of the biggest keys to peace and happiness. Accepting other people, I'm going to throw my mother in there, until I accepted my, and the only reason why I can't accept anyone, including my mother, if I couldn't accept her, it was only because I wasn't accepting of myself. See, the answers always come back to us. So in the news, people are sensitive. People do this, it's called clap back. Somebody says something mean and they clap back and you respond. But if you only realize that whatever anyone is saying, if it's negative or mean or hurt or seeming to be hurtful, they're really saying it about themselves. The words that they're using are for their ears. It's not personal. There is no attack. When I say attack, there is no verbal attack out there. That is personal, my dear audience. It's not. So when these people are mean or angry and judging others, it's really about them, whether they know it or not. Now, reflecting back on being a mother, I'm trying to remember a Mother's Day that stands out. And I'm talking about a Mother's Day that I shared with my mother. And I'm going to have to say I can't think of one that stands out. Then I go to thinking of a Mother's Day with my son. Was I with him on that one Mother's Day? I don't remember. You know, I can listen. Because of the practice of thinking holidays, excuse me. Hold on a second, audience. I need a swig of water. Hold on. Okay. The practice of what? Hold on a second. I have a caller, a live caller. Well, welcome to Reality Spirituality. What's your first name?
My first name is your mother, my mother, what?
Your first name is your mother? What?
Oh, that's your name, what?
You know what? I was just thinking of, I was making a comment about trying to remember. Oh, by the way, audience, this is my number one and only son, Nathan. And I was trying to remember.
I said I figured I would call you on Mother's Day. It's the least I could do.
Well, you know, and I want you to tell the audience, are you obligated to call me on Mother's Day?
Well, according to this show, I'm not obligated to call you on Mother's Day.
Okay.
No, it's so true. I'm trying to
remember a memorable Mother's Day.
Right.
Can you remember a Mother's Day that you thought was memorable?
I remember this one.
Right?
I remember right now.
And you know what? And that's the whole point. I mean, this holiday obligation. Anyway, what I now that you're on the phone, I want to thank my son. I want to thank you, Nathan, because some of the things you've said, some things to me. I know words are just words, but there is a vibration. There is an energy behind your words. And you have said some things to me that, and this is throughout the year, throughout the years, that have been, if you want to use it, such a gift to be a mother, to be, you know, your mother.
Mm.
And you just said this yesterday, and we were talking about being together or hanging out together or what I was saying is it doesn't matter to me, Nathan, what you do, even if it doesn't involve me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the words that I love when you this is your new thing now. I don't know if you know it, but you say, wow.
Because
when it hits you just say, wow. I want to ask all the mothers out there this one question. And you mothers answer it anyway. This is I think it's a very telling question. If your child or your children were able to have a better life, and when I say better life, I'm not talking about financially, but if they were able to grow up and be more connected, better people, just leaps and bounds more than what you could ever do for them because you're limited, and there was someone else that had even more than, maybe somebody that was even more conscious than you, and they would, I don't know, was able to be, I don't want to use this word, but a better parent than you could be, would you give your child up? It's the same thing like people that give their children up for adoption. You know, a lot of people give their, when they're younger, they give their children up for adoption because they think that the child is going to have a better home or a better life. That kind of thing. Would you be able to give your child up? That's the question. I'm throwing that out there to the audience, and my answer is, and it always has been, I've said it since you were born, Nathan, yes, I would give you up if it meant you're going to have a better life.
Well, that's nice. I'm not going to give you up, though.
You know what I'm saying.
No, I do. I do. No, I'm holding on to you. I don't care if I don't care if it makes you worse or not. I'm holding on tight. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. No, I love that because, talking about for me, I'm not really, I guess you're talking about loving someone else. Or really having that love that goes beyond what makes the self feel good. So,
yes.
I think for me, I'm not even sure if I can really, I can tap into how it might feel, but other than maybe a dog, I haven't really had anything that I felt like I needed or was supposed to love more than me. Not more than me, but that kind of love for, that parental love, that's a little out of the realm for me.
Yeah, because,
I can tap into it. I would go into what feels like the best vibration inside of me, no matter
right.
what.
Right. It's you know, you said dog or animal. It's the same kind of thing. I remember watching a documentary a long time ago. Born Free is about the woman that raised the lion from a little cub, and then she had to let the cub go. She had to let the lion go back into the wild. Same thing with a dog. If you have a dog and maybe you're moving into an apartment and somebody, you know, you've had the dog forever, but somebody has a farm where the dog can run free. So that's a really good example, but it even applies to people too. And it's about holding on to anything, holding on to it or putting rules on it or obligations on any person other than giving them their freedom or allowing them their freedom. You do you. Isn't that the ultimate love?
It is. Well, now as you say, and you opened up another can of worms, because now you're talking about just letting people do what they want to do, be the person they want to be, and having and just allowing that, or loving them from a distance, loving them from up close, loving them once a week, loving them whatever they say or don't say. It's just a big blanket of love, no matter what, really.
Yeah, and love, and also I like acceptance, because that word love is just so, you know, love in today's society. I'm not going to make generalizations, but a lot of people use that word love, but I love you, but if you do A, B, or C, or D, I don't love your ass anymore.
right. Mm-hmm. My thing is, you do A, B, C, or D, I still love you, but I'm going to have to go over here for a minute. So it's not conditional on them, but it might be conditional on what I do. Because you can do what you do, but then maybe I'm going to have to take a new course of action just so I can keep my vibration steady. But it's nothing that they have to do,
right,
even though I'm
right.
thinking it, though.
So you're talking about which is what I've learned later in my life is just being compatible energy. Being compatible energy, because there's compatible energy and there's incompatible energy, meaning that, you know, an elephant isn't gonna you know, date a bird, and a bird isn't gonna date a deer. So it's just being compatible, and that compatible energy for me. So question, Nathan, what is compatible energy for you?
I have a really good answer.
We're going to go do a little quick break right now. We're going to come back with Nathan's answer. Break's over. What's your answer?
No. That's funny. That was funny. It threw me off a little bit. Well, I don't know if I can articulate this quite well, but basically I'm trying to say that compatible energy is going to go to the energy inside of me. So what kind of – if is this energy that's in me compatible with my universal energy, my conscious energy, my spirit energy? And if I am in with someone and I can feel that energy within me going back and forth or up and down, then I might say I'm not compatible with them, but I really want to say that something inside of me is not linking up. And then I can do something about that.
So be specific, because that was a little general, which is good, but more specific, because I'm thinking, for me, I'm thinking, okay, let me just use a label, people that are complainers. Always complaining. And, I mean, I get it. I get it, because Listen, because I recognize it because I was number one complainer my own damn self.
Yeah, no, it's like when you're complaining, I just stop listening to you and I keep my energy kind of intact. Is that a good example?
The only time I complain is when you think I'm complaining.
But what? Get it? You think I'm complaining. Well, you know, I mean, sometimes a complaint might roll off your tongue, and I mean,
wait, me?
Well, maybe.
Me?
And
not me.
So, yeah. Well, it is compatible. Now, listen, if you're complaining, and then my energy wants to complain too, now our energy is compatible. But if you're complaining and my energy is not, then now I'm feeling something weird in me, and then I just got to check in with me. I just like that compatible energy for the moment. Maybe we can tag that on or see how that feels good for you.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that because, okay, well, thank you, Nathan, for enlightening me because I've been saying compatible energy, and I put a period on the end of that sentence, and you're even opening it up to more, which is compatible energy for the moment.
Yeah, I like that too.
I love that. I mean, anything that is going for me, anything that's going to make me be more open, because when I put a period on anything or a bold statement, and I have a period, then that means I'm just stuck there, stagnant there. But that's real. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah.
Boy, it's so annoying when the children teach the parents. Isn't that annoying? And especially on Mother's Day. What nerve.
seems fitting to me. I mean, I'm up here. I have to learn from dogs and trees, so I don't have much compassion for you.
Well, can you please share, because you shared a story with me this week about the dog, about Cade, about the dog that was walking, and then she got wrapped around a book. Can you please share that story and the lesson that you got from that? Because that was a really good lesson. And I just want to share with my audience that, yes, There's always a lesson. Even animals can teach you lessons. I mean, people know that, but it's really about paying attention, and animals can teach you a lot about yourself. So please share that one. It was really good.
Yeah, so I was having a lovely walk with a dog. You know, I was the one walking her, at least that's what I thought. And we were trotting along. And she decided to smell something over in the bushes. And in the bushes, it's around like a metal railing, like all these metal poles. So she kind of was wrapping herself up around these poles. The leash was getting wrapped up and twisted up. And then until she shortened her own leash to nothing. And I decided it was a good idea to allow her to figure out how to unwrap herself. So at first I just stood there and watched her, and then she kind of stuck. She couldn't even really smell anything anymore. And then she looked at me like, what do we do now? I don't have any more leash. Can you help me out? And I looked at her like, well, that's your problem.
Now I have a question before you go on. I have a question.
Okay.
So you had expectations of a dog?
You know, I hate to admit it, but I did. I expected this moment to be a moment where she could get herself, where she could, I'm trying to think of what I even expected out of her. I expected her to maneuver through something, to get herself out of a mess. on her own without my assistance. I guess maybe that's a key word. And, you know, like, she's going to be smart enough to do this. And it turns out she's the smart one waiting for me to actually help her out because I'm the one that can help her. And it turns out I was the dummy.
Wait.
Sorry, did I get you too early?
Yeah. So you know, which now you're taking it to something else because
okay, well let me back up just a little bit. I just want to tell you about my energy because when she first got tangled up, I was very, I felt really patient and really like I had all the time in the world. And I really was just curious if she could figure out how to retrace her steps after she got in this loop. And I was going to just stay there and see if she could do it on her own. And after we stood there for about 5 minutes, and it was clear that this wasn't going to happen, or at least it hadn't happened yet, then I could feel my energy start to shift. And then I was getting more impatient, and I felt like I started getting like this energy of frustration. And I thought I was frustrated at her for not being able to figure it out. But really looking back, I feel like I was frustrated at myself for having expectations of this moment. I was frustrated at myself for just not stepping in to change something that I could have really easily changed. And after a while, it turned out that she was the one just waiting and being patient and just kind of sitting there. And I was the one that sort of lost patience and felt my energy shift.
That is such a good story. And while I was listening to you, I mean, that is such a great universal story. What I was, you see why I'm a proud mother, audience. You get it, audience? No, you can't have them. No, sorry. But when I was listening to you, that word patience, animals, I don't see anything other than animals having patience. That's all they have is patience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, animals can sit and wait for a person and wait, and especially if they're on a leash. They can wait in a car. They just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Are animals ever impatient?
Now, this is a really good question because I have seen Kate in the car, and if I wait in the car with her and someone else leaves the car for 10 minutes, she's looking around, like, when is this person going to come back? And I don't think all dogs do that, but I do know that some dogs are, you know, waiting by the door, or they're freaked out. They're barking if they're alone. Some dogs, I think, don't care. They lay down. It's just good. This is really good because I'm just trying to break down what that energy is. When you said patience, what kind of energy are we talking about? Trusting or being in the moment,
Well, now that you're talking, if we had called Caesar the dog whisperer, you know what he would say about that, right?
What? That it was learned by the human?
Yeah, he would say that energy that these animals have, the animals, what did he say? He rehabilitates dogs. And he trains people. I think that's his line. And the rehabilitation of dogs is because of what people, their energy, they've actually, their energy has caused that energy in the dog. I don't know that.
It's really good because now I'm thinking.
Yeah,
all of the animals
that he goes to help, he always says that it's because it's the human, because either the human. Listen, and I'm not pointing fingers at anything, but the human reward a dog for behavior that's not even dog-like.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You don't give a dog a treat, or you don't give a dog a reward when they're in a high anxiety state.
Right.
You wait for them to get all the way down and submit. He talks about submissive state, calm state, submissive state. But that high anxiety energy state has either been taught or an environment. I mean, there's been dogs that have been abandoned, and I remember one dog was close to a firing range, and you know, was all nervous about the firing. But even a firing range, he could rehabilitate the dog to be calm even around all of the noise. But it's the energy of the human thinking that, well, I was looking at thinking that the dogs are just like them, and oh, my dog. What if somebody said their dog? Oh, they could tell that their dog was sad. No, you're the one that's sad, and you're putting it on the dog. Anyway, it's really good conversation. What do you think about that?
I think it's really good. I just think it so easily relates to what we talk about and with the programming and how and what we as a society reward other humans with and put down other humans with. And sometimes I talk about this in class, how we're not in a society that rewards stillness and being quiet and just taking peace. You know, we call it being lazy. You call it that too. It's not necessarily rewarded, even though that might be what brings that person the most peace in that moment. Where it's like a fast pace, you got to do more, and then we'll give you a raise. You do more, then we'll pay you more. You do more, then we'll talk about you more. And it's just kind of running into the ground a little bit. It takes a moment to really think, okay, is this good for me? Even though it may not be rewarded or put down by another person. Doesn't really matter what anyone else does. But it's that pressure. It was just interesting that you said giving a dog a treat when they're in a state of anxiety. It just made me think of people.
Mm. Well, let me just tell the audience, you know, you talk about class, so you are a yoga instructor, so that's what he was talking about when in class. And
yeah, I just want to add one thing with the yoga, because there's a few moments in yoga, especially in the very beginning and the very end. In the beginning, we just sit there. You know, we're not doing a stretch. We're not working our abs. We're not even really talking that much. We're just sitting there. And then at the very end of class, you just lay down. And sometimes people always leave before that last part of class. They always leave before the laying down part. And it's just interesting that, I mean, I get it. We're not really physically doing anything. So I could see how it would be easy to regard that part of class like, oh, this is a waste of my time. And I guess it's still up to the person in the moment of what's going to feel right for them. I just want to tie that into this idea that it's just the idea of rest and peace and really being quiet. Kind of not new,
you know,
but yeah.
No, I'm going to say, now you're bringing up a really, really, and one of my favorite stories, because you know, this yoga, take yoga, 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 so calm and peaceful. And one of my favorite stories of all time is when I used to teach in Arcadia, California at All Pro, and there was a yoga instructor, and it was a woman. I won't say her name. I'll just say her name was Ruby. How's that? Ruby. And Ruby's class was right after my class. I had a boot camp class, and Ruby would sit in the hall, and she would, you know, couldn't wait for the class. And I mean, she would. Sometimes I remember I started it by running late a little bit. I think I was 2 or 3 minutes late, and so I would see Ruby going up and down the hall, looking in the class to see if I was done, to see if it was over, to see if my class was over. I said, "Oh my goodness, this yoga person, this yoga instructor, is impatient or anxious or whatever word you want to put it." And so what I did, being my cruel self, jokester. Did I ever tell you this, Nathan?
I think so, maybe.
I would set the clock, so the clock in the room, I would set it back, and the clock in the hall was the right time, but the clock in the room was 5 minutes slow. So she would look at the clock in the room, and she would look. I would say, "Oh no, this is it. So it's really not that time. Oh, I thought I had 5 more minutes." But the point is this: that there was so much anxiety and so tense. So just because you teach yoga doesn't mean that you can be peaceful. That's what I want to say. Number two, you brought up a point which is so important. When I did my 40-day not speaking, and I didn't speak for 40 days, you know, other than just writing notes, there are a lot of people that are uncomfortable, this ties into what you're saying, uncomfortable with silence and uncomfortable with doing nothing. And so when you say, you know, when you say waste of time, or they're, you know, get up and, you know, you really don't know why they're leaving. You can, you know, you can put your spin on it. You really don't know why they're leaving. But some people are just uncomfortable with the silence and the stillness and doing nothing. Period. Hello?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Anyway, yes, so I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, this is a mother. Do you have anything else to say on our Mother's Day show? This is the Mother's Day show, and what a great treat, and thank you so much for calling in, my own one and only son.
I just want to say thank you for being my mom and being an example for me and doing this show and taking breath and being out in nature and doing things and talking about it and talking to me about it and bringing an open book for me and letting me see the behind the scenes and, you know, learning from that and showing me your size and just you being you helps me to be me, and it feels good to be me. So thank you for that.
Well, let's let the audience in on, you know, and thank you for that too, but let the audience in on some real behind the scenes, because I wasn't always this open, let you be you, calm, looking for peace, wanting to be happy kind of person. I raised this young man a tyrant and a hammer, and it was my way or the highway, and you know, frankly, and everything happens for whatever reason, but it's who I am now is not who I was when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm. For sure, and I can say the same thing about me too. And it does feel good to. It does feel good to feel better, to feel different. And I do have to say that there was an energy of you do you. I mean, I remember that from as early as I can remember, as far as doing what I wanted to do, taking lessons if I want to take lessons, not taking lessons if I didn't want to take lessons. It's like the intention was there, and just the forming of the human on the outside is always going to be forming and evolving. And yeah, but I did always feel like, okay, I can do this, I can take this class, I can go to this school, I can kind of do what I wanted in that realm.
Well,
and we all, and another thing too, we always have had the humor. So even if, I mean, we've been through it like anybody else, like any other parent to child, but we definitely had humor, and humor is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't always mm-hmm. funny, but we always try to make it funny. That's huge. I'm still into humor today. And you even said it yesterday about wanting to just laugh at all of it, or feeling like, wow, what a higher vibration than just laughing at all of it.
Yeah, that's a big one, and especially laughing when the shit isn't funny. That's a real good challenge.
What is funnier than a happiness specialist that's unhappy? I mean, that's pretty
exactly.
funny.
Exactly.
Right?
A happiness specialist that is really angry and pissed off. That is hysterical.
Yeah, it's the same as the angry yoga teacher.
Yes, you're right. And you know, and the thing that I'm learning more and more now is I recognize when it's my mind, my ego, whatever you want to call it, I recognize it so fast. I mean, it is right there. It is ready. It is always ready, always ready, always around the corner. I'm feeling good. I'm skipping through. And all of a sudden the ego, bam, back to the back of the head, bam. So I'm recognizing it's so odd. Plus, I'm also knowing and admitting that I don't even know. I can't even, I used to think I knew so much, but I know even less. And knowing that I don't, when I say less of the big picture, the big picture, I know so little of this big picture that what am I even trying to figure anything out? It actually just gives me more freedom. I don't know anything, so why even try to figure anything out?
Well, bam. Well, now we know. Now we're here where we were a couple weeks ago. We don't have nothing to talk about.
And that's why I'm going to end the show right now.
Well, All right, cool. You're gonna close out, or you close out with
I'm gonna
you
close out unless you have something else.
No, I'm good. I was just gonna
okay,
keep listening,
I'm gonna
but
close
I'll get
out
off
and,
the line.
And I was gonna thank Nathan for being my guest on Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much, Nathan, for being part of the show. I love it when he surprises me. Yes, it was a surprise. I'm not gonna try to say it wasn't. And Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel is work in progress, but you know, that's what happens. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon and or Lulu, LULU.com. My second book that I'm working on now, don't know when it's going to be finished, don't know. It is called Program for Unhappiness. And until next time, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappier journey, and it is about the journey. Thank you for listening, Reality Spirituality. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah.
Thanks, it's
time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers,
Reality,
baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Aftermath in a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow!
Yeah. Good show, Mom.
Well, thank you for calling in, Nathan. That was fun. It's always good. It's
fun.
Always fun to call in.
Yeah. What else is going
on? That story with Kate is really a good story.
Oh yeah, thanks for that one. She's my only, I mean, her and Pancake are my only kids, quote unquote.
Wow. So do you ever think or do you ever feel that you would want to have a child?
I do have that feeling. I do have that feeling. I mean, it's a little faint. It's not like right now, but yeah, I mean, I can feel that energy. But I kind of feel like you said it in your show. You felt like it would kind of bind you or take away your freedom. So I feel that too. So I'm like,
Well, it's not feeling it. It definitely does. I mean, you're you're stuck for at least, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, I know.
If you're
so
going to be
I'm
a good parent.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. So I'm like, No, it's still about me for right now, but I'll keep it in mind.
Foster, big brother.
Right. No, that's true. Oh, like a temporary situation.
Yeah,
no, that's
you,
not
you know,
bad
they have a lot of kids that you know need you know on a weekend you take them out or whatever you call, they call them big brothers or big sisters.
That's kind of cool. That's actually a good idea for more of a present moment, upcoming moment kind of thing. That's a good idea.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about it. I thought. So, what are you doing today?
So I'm gonna teach. I'm gonna teach a class in a little bit. Sub a class, and then I'm teaching a class later, and then someone new. It's like a one-on-one, and I'm doing with someone new. See how that goes.
Oh. Do you like one-on-ones?
I like them now, a little bit more now. A little bit kind of taking the business into my own hands, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I was going to ask you about your one-on-one. We chatted about that a little while ago.
You're
going to ask your questions?
Yeah. You mean my one-on-one a coaching person?
Yeah.
It's interesting because she had one appointment And so far, in fact, I just heard from her yesterday, but so far she hasn't scheduled anything else. And the thing, you know, what I learn about people, and you know, I mean, I might be, well, what I learn about certain people is that some people, how do I say this? They don't want to give up. They're not ready to give up their control, they're not ready to give it up. They're still hanging on to their beliefs. They're still hanging on to, I mean, after 3 years of with me, and you know, the statement is, well, he made me mad. I mean, you know, you're making a statement that somebody else can make you mad. Nobody can make you mad. I mean, that's what I've been talking about for 3 years. Somebody else made you mad. So, you know, when again, I'm not even going to try to figure it out. So if people come into my life and they acquire my assistance, fine. And if they're here for a moment, fine. I mean, I'm always going to be available, though.
Mm-hmm. We talked about, you know, just getting the basics down. So if we're not on the same page with the basics, then what?
Exactly.
We're kind of not speaking the same language here.
Right. Well, we know, but we're not practicing it. It's just like I know Taco Bell isn't really the healthiest for me, but I'm going to eat it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
This commitment. I'm just going to ask you this commitment. Is a hell of a time. I mean, it consumes all the time.
Right.
When you're committed
to
being happy or peaceful or content, whatever you want to say, it is a full moment, every moment, every waking moment commitment. It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Not a lot of people want to commit to that.
Right. Well, it reminds me of someone taught me, when I was in Wichita, someone was teaching me guitar, they're teaching me chords, and then they said, now listen, I'm not going to teach you, because he was basically saying, I'll teach you for free, but I'm not going to teach you if you're not going to practice. And he just straight up said that. And he was like, I have things I could give you, but if you're not into it, you're not going to practice or take this stuff with you, then let's not do this. And I remember thinking that was kind of cool and interesting that he said that. And I think, you know, that's up to him. If he wants to keep teaching me and he knows I'm either practicing or not practicing, that's up to him. If he could still teach me if I never practiced. But it's just,
See, I would still teach people even if they don't practice.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then
I'll still teach you even if you're not going to practice. That's what I've been doing.
Right. Cool, Mom.
So let me share with you. Do you have a minute? Because happened yesterday.
Yeah,
okay,
please,
so
please.
I was, you know, on the internet, and I was just looking around, and I, you know, the interview just takes me to this one site, and it was about this. It was called Spiritual Review. I think it was Spiritual Review. I don't remember the exact name, but this guy rated, I mean, from one to five. spiritual teachers that he thought were good, and then like a 5-star for this teacher, and then a 1-star for this one teacher. He was basically rating them, and I was I'm like, what the hell is this? Why are you rating? You know, why are you making a judgment on spiritual teachers? And the real thing was, I was reading some of his stuff, and it said, thought David Hawkins was a charlatan, okay? So, number one, he doesn't like my guy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I go on his web. So, I'm reading the website, and it says something about he also said, if you're reading this, don't try to, you know, send me an email to try to tell me that I shouldn't be judging other spiritual teachers. Don't try to convince me that I'm wrong. He's actually telling me, or, you know, the readers, not to send him an email to tell him that he's wrong. He says, because you can't convince me of anything else. So then I was reading one of his little quotes, and it says, he says, you talk of success, security, happiness, and the multitudes will flock. And it has something else about, and you give them food, and then they'll stay there. But the Tao, you know, talking about the universe, the Tao, there is no sound, there is no feeling, there is nothing, there's nothing there. So I had to send him an email. You know I did.
Uh-oh.
I was comparing.
Oh.
And I was trying, and I was trying to be as universal as possible. But here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, the universe brought me to your website. I said, this is not an attempt to convince you of anything other than what you believe, because I can feel your energy. I just want to add my 2 cents to the quote that you offer on your site. You say, talk of success, security, and happiness, and the multitudes will flock. I said, multitudes may flock, but only 2% of the population have the ability to look in the mirror and change. Like a robot, people are programmed to judge. All judgments subtract from happiness. And that's what I said.
Wow, all right. Well, please
definitely
keep me posted. I'll be curious to see if he, what he says back, if he says anything.
Yeah, I don't know if he is going to say anything, but anyway, I did send that.
Yeah.
And I usually never do that, but that he bothered me.
Right.
Judging people, and you're supposed to be spiritual. What?
Right. Well. Mm-hmm.
That's what I. He put it on a website.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
You know what? No. I. It's really, really, really good stuff. Because the spiritual thing. I mean, I'm just come to accept that. Whatever anyone's into is what they're into, because I know that everyone is definitely not into the same spiritual teachings, and sometimes things are going to work for this person. It's definitely not going to work for the other person, or it's, I mean, religion and Christian, this and that. I mean, everyone's into their own thing. So it's kind of I think it's really tricky, because I think it's easy. I think for me to think that my spiritual way is the way. I mean, it's really easy to think like that, because I really rely on my way. I mean, it's mm-hmm. what I really truly believe. So it works for me. I mean, it actually works for me. So to hear someone have anything that, you know, if I hear someone else say, oh, well, you got to push harder and you got to do this, I'm thinking that's wrong. That's not what I do, but if that's what's working for them, or what, you know, it's just a slippery slope over here. Because if they told me what I'm doing is wrong, I would say, well, that's not true, because it's working for me right now.
And what you're saying is just the underlining of everything, which is acceptance. And I'll never forget what Panache said, and he was so right.
All right.
Panache, this was years ago on a video before you even met him. He said that spiritual people are the most judgmental people on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, right. You did tell me that. It hit me too. I remember that he said that, because you told me. That's huge.
Yeah, he said it. He said it before you even met him. I didn't even know who he was, but when he said it, I just looked at him. I said, "Oh shit, I am." I mean, because I'm up here judging all these spiritual people all the time. I just had to really check myself. And what you said is so true, because everybody is different. If you are finding peace in another way, or how about this? What if your peace isn't even your motivation? maybe you don't even want peace. There are people that don't even want to be.
No, you're right. You're right with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got to let go of all these people. But like you, Nathan, I know this works for me. It really, what I'm doing works for me. And if it didn't, I wouldn't be doing it.
Get it?
Cool, Mom. Well, we'll do aftermath on the phone.
Yeah, because I'm going to look at your video, your whatever you sent me now.
Yeah. Whenever you're feeling it, when you're inspired to feel it, for sure.
Well, I have it open. I have it open right now, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to end the episode. The episode is ended. Reality, spirituality, aftermath. And if you're listening to this, wow, people. Yay.
For sure. I love you, Mom.
All right. Later, alligator.
I'm going to get out of here. Okay, bye.
Okay, I love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye, everybody. See you next week. Reality, spirituality. Aftermath.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time to be real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.